Well, gee, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, you don't very often get a chance to get together with all your players just 10 years after they've left. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, are highly successful guys in football and out of football. And they're really a bunch of good kids. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them and having some fun with them.
Do you guys keep in touch with them very much? Or?
Oh, there's my phone's out in my car. I mean, I spent a lot of time this week calling kids that were from the Houston area and that general area there that played for us over the years, not only from KU but from other schools too, and trying to keep up with that. But I my phone probably has 500 contacts and probably 200 or so, 250 are players, former players.
Mark, what do you remember most from that Orange Bowl game? Was there a play? Was there a point in the game that turned the tide?
Yeah.
Where you really felt?
You know, I think there were, like, that game had, I know this sounds a little ambiguous, there were about three or four turning points in the game. Mm-hmm. Aqib picks off that pass and sets the tempo. That was the tempo setter. You know, that got our kids, you know, they said, hey, we can play with these guys. We can beat them. I think number two, there's no question that the fake punt was a key play in that game. And, you know, the kids executed it perfectly. Although we threw it to the wrong guy, that's kind of everybody knows that story. But I told B-Mac, you're good with me, man. As long as we got a first down, you're supposed to throw it to the right. I don't know why he did. He doesn't either. He said, after I got out there, he said, I felt better throwing to my left than my right. I said, that's fine. That's great. You know, that's great. I think the block field goal was a key. And then I thought that Virginia Tech was running the ball really well against us in the second half. In fact, they were running it down our throat. And we went in with the coaches and sat with the defensive guys and Bill and Clinton, all the guys that got together. We got to stop this off-tackle play and this counter play, or they're going to run it all night, you know. And they came up with a nice adjustment at the half and pretty much handled their run game. So I think those four things come to mind. There's a lot of great plays in the game, but I think those four things there were the keys to winning that game.
Aqib is a pretty special NFL player. Are you just not surprised at all? And
no.
What are your comments about how good he is?
Well, I'm not surprised at all. Now, when I saw him on tape in high school, I really thought that he had a chance to be pretty good. And I didn't know why he wasn't getting a lot of play. Well, with the word on the street was, geez, he plays quarterback, running back, receiver, linebacker, safety, corner, you know. But you could tell that the guy had ability. So we went after him. His freshman year was kind of a transition year for him, you know, and it was a lot of hard work and learning and understanding that you're no longer playing high school ball. And then you could just see him blossom from there. And then the second half of the 2007 season, I mean, people were game planning to keep the ball away from him. You know, we tried to do a couple of things to try to flip him around and stuff, but they just check at the line and get away from him. So he's turned out to be he was a great player here. I'm not surprised he's a great player in the NFL. It doesn't surprise me. The thing about him is the guy has a real zest for life. When you're around him, he'll get you excited. I mean, the guy's got a lot of energy. You know, he's really, he really is kind of the life of the party, so to speak. But I think he lifts, you know, what do they say? A high tide lifts all boats. He's a high tide.
Anthony wasn't real highly recruited either, was he?
No, I think he started playing football maybe his junior year. I mean, his junior year might have already started, too. And then he played his senior year. You know, he was kind of thin but really athletic, and we debated, can we make the guy an offensive tackle? I said, there's really no debate here. I said, probably in my career we've had five or six guys that were tight ends, thin guys, but they were tall and rangy, and we made them offensive tackles. I could go down a list of guys at several schools. And I thought he fit that profile. And he worked hard in the weight room. He liked the weight room. He got stronger. He had incredibly quick feet. And he really developed into, you know, I will say he exceeded our expectations because there was so much for him to learn about the game of football, let alone our system. And he did a great job.
So many of those guys on that Orange Bowl team were maybe unsung recruits.
And oh, yeah.
Sorry, John, but didn't go by recruiting rankings when you did, guys. But how,
we had
how satisfying was
you,
it?
You see what recruiting stars do for a guy. He pulled up on a skateboard. there's a lot of those guys.
To see those guys, you know, get as far as they did with an Orange Bowl berth when, you know.
We talk about a lot of the same kids, and they deserve it. Let's talk about some guys that played major roles in this program and, you know, a little bit overlooked. Look at Derek Fine. You know, he wasn't recruited out of Southside, Oklahoma. I don't know if you guys remember. Kevin, you might. He had a really bad internal sickness, and we had to send him home. And then we said, we'll never see that guy again. He's sick. He's losing weight. He showed up the next fall. Lifted weights, looked good, ready to go. He was a special teams demon for us. He was one of the best tight ends we've ever had here. You know, let's take a look at some of the Adrian Mays walked on here from Manhattan, Kansas. Ended up being a starter and a good player for us. You know, Ryan Cantrell was not a highly recruited guy, played center for us at 6'1". You know, he'll tell you it was 290 or something, but it was less than that. But the thing that he had going for him, he was a really intelligent guy, you know, graduated from Samuel Clemens High School down there in Sugar Land. And he understood the offense. He was like having another quarterback on the field. And Russell Borson, you know, Russell was just a great wrestler and a pretty good football player. Mm-hmm. We thought he was tough and hard-nosed. You know, we debated it because he was undersized. But I said, you know, there's no substitute for toughness. And, you know, John Larson walked on, earned a scholarship, ended up being a key player in that game. And I can go on and on. I mean, I could sit here and tell you about – that was a special group of kids, and it seemed like the pieces of the puzzle just came together. Everybody – there was an unselfishness on that team, I think, that made that team special. They were together. They wanted to play. They wanted to win. A lot of those guys have been in the program for a while. I don't think some of the kids that we recruited after the Orange Bowl had an appreciation for what those guys did in the early years here. I truly believe that. I think the guys that had to, you know, get kicked around and humiliated out in the game field and in public and scorned, those guys, by the time they were juniors and seniors, they were sick of it, and they were going to do something about it.
They use that. I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah. We played that card.
Yeah.
Is that something that the current team can, the current program can learn something from? I mean, you know what it's like to build here and try to build success from a difficult
You know, I don't know exactly what they have here. And,
in a general sense.
In a general sense, what I would say is if those kids get a – if the current players get a chance tomorrow to – take a peek at those guys walking around the field here and out on the field. Look at those guys. They got a swagger to them, even 10 years later. They're cocky. You know, you call them out, you're going to be in a battle. I mean, that's just the mentality of those guys. And I think if anything can be learned from the team that's here right now, is just take a peek at them. They'll be walking around out on the field before the game and along the sideline. Just take a glance over there and see how they carry themselves, how they're sure of themselves, how they're, you know, they fear nothing. And that's the lesson that these kids can learn here.
How proud are you at what Chris Harris and Aqib Talib have been able to do and, you know,
well, I just talked a bunch about Aqib and Chris. Chris is a true freshman, lined up and played on a pretty good football team. Why was Chris so successful as a true freshman on an Orange Bowl team? Because he brings a work ethic and a seriousness to the game like nobody you've ever met. I mean, the guy is serious about football. He approaches it like a blue-collar guy with a lunch bucket every day. He works at it. He studies it. He's smart. And what he doesn't have in size, his heart makes up for it. Aqib, you know, it's, you know, I feel, you know, I'm lucky. I mean, I've got two kids that are Pro Bowlers, played on a Super Bowl on the same team, and played on the same team in college, and I had the good fortune to be able to recruit them and coach them. You know, I'm really proud of that. But I'm proud of all of our kids. You know, Daryl Stuckey, I mean, old Daryl, nobody recruited Daryl. I think K-State came in late. We went over and talked to him and his mom, and I said, I won't make any promises I can't keep, but here's the ones that I got. And Daryl, you know, I mean, Daryl had some tough issues in his life. And we helped him as coaches. We helped him through some personal issues and things, and he never gave up. He never made an excuse. And look at the fine career he's had in the NFL. And look at the contributions he's made here, both on and off the field.
I remember you introduced him one time as the next governor of Canada, future governor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, he could be. Although the bar was kind of low here for a while, wasn't it? I might have had a chance.
That team was so good. The record, what they did nationally. You've been around a lot of programs, a lot of seasons. Can you rank it personally, the enjoyment you had, and, you know, where that team ranks?
I'm not going to get in the ranking because I've been a very fortunate coach. As an assistant, as a head coach, I've been around some really good teams. You know, BCS Bowl winners, national championship. No, I love them all, man. I'm proud to say that I had the opportunity to coach a lot of players, and I'm very thankful for it.
When you're going through that season, is it fun, or are you so worried about, you know, we can go win the national title? Are you just so focused? You enjoy it later, or then, or what?
You don't know until you get to maybe the halfway point or something, and you're undefeated. That it has to be, it might be a chance to have a special team, but you don't let the players know that. You keep that tunnel vision. I know it's a cliche. I know you guys hate it. I saw, you know, Kevin Haskin, you know, scratching his head, Tom Keegan looking up in the air and all. But the fact of the matter is, if you can keep your focus on one task at a time and take them each as they come, you're better off. And also, you have to understand that, a lot of folks didn't have respect for this program. All of a sudden, the guys on campus have all kind of friends, and who wants to invite them to their parties now? And, you know, now they can cut the line at their favorite club because they're special now. I didn't tell them they were special until the locker room in Miami after the game. Don't listen to those people. Those are the same ones last year were calling you bums. Don't listen to it. Things are never as good as it seems, and things are never as bad as it seems. You got to be able to be even keel.
What's up with you now, Coach? Where are you living? What's happening in your world?
Well, I'm kind of enjoying myself. I mean, I have time of my own that, for 34 years I didn't. You know, my time was devoted to other people's children. My wife and I travel. We spend time with our grandkids and our kids and our extended families. We try to get to a couple different major league parks that we haven't been to before because we're both baseball fans. My wife had a very old brother that passed away just a year ago, so she tended to him. My mother was in a nursing home for 13 months and passed away in December. So we spent a lot of time handling that. And, and even a guy that's coached a long time, you can still learn some life lessons when you experience those things. So, but overall, we've been fortunate to be able to have time and do things that we've always talked about. And, you know, I go watch, you know, there's guys that I coached that are high school coaches, and I go sit in a lawn chair and watch them practice. I go visit, you know, different schools once in a while. Not for anything other than the kill time and that type of thing. But, you know, I mean, if I want to sleep till noon, I can do it now.
Coach, when people talk about the offense that lighting up, well, the Big 12 specifically, they talk about, you know, the wide open offenses here that are supposedly – relatively new the last 7-8 years. It was a lot of the stuff that you guys are running. Wasn't it to one degree or another? It felt like, were you guys kind of on the front end of that thing?
I don't know if we were on the front end of it. We kind of took the spread offense and the elements of it that we liked, and then we put our own touch and signature to it so that they could marry up and match up. I don't care what offense you're running. You need players, and we had good players here on offense.
So you may have already covered this. I apologize. But how's it feel to be back in Lawrence?
Oh, it's good. I mean, you know, my family and I, we love living in Lawrence. It's a great place. There's been changes since I've been here. I remember, if you wanted to send out for a sandwich or something, you had to send a GA about 6 blocks. Now you can walk across the street. Shoot, man, things are looking up. Those residence halls really look good. And, you know, they were just finished. They just finished the Oread when I was coaching here and had never really been in it. And I'm staying there this weekend. And boy, is that a really cool place, man. That is really nice. A lot of good things, you know. We liked it here. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun, our coaches, our players. It's a good place. It's a real good place.
Where do you think you're going to be thinking as you step on the field?
Oh, I don't know. I think, I'm not a real sentimental person, but I value my experiences and appreciate them. I don't know. I appreciate, you know, what they've done here, the new administration and everything. You know, they've been good. They've reached out. You know, and hey, heck, I think I qualify to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, shoot, I'm just a smidge over 500. I never took steroids. I never bet on football. Isn't that the criteria? So what the heck? Right?
Coach, how cool is it for you to still see Clint Bowen around and still on staff? And I saw you share a word with him out in the hallway. How cool is it to catch up?
Oh, it's good, man. Clint's good. He loves this place. He works hard. He really worked hard when I was the head coach here. And he cared and he put extra time in and did extra things to try to make the program better and make himself a better coach. So it's really good to see Clint, and I'm happy for him. How awesome can it be? You grew up here. You played in high school here. You played in college here. I don't know how many years he's been here. I don't think he got Hadle beat yet, though, but he's been here. You know, I mean, that's like the dream come true. I, during my career, I moved 17 times. You know, so it's pretty cool.
You also gave Coach Beatty his first Power 5 job, and he was pretty appreciative to you of that. What do you remember about the younger assistant, David Beatty, and what kind of caught your eye to hire him?
Well, we were looking for a receivers coach, and I wanted a guy that, you know, that was a football coach, not a moonlighter. I wanted a guy that really football was important to him. And I started to get calls out of Texas and people that I know, acquaintances and things and coaching, that said, you know, we know you're looking. Have you filled the position? I said, no. I said, in fact, I'm not going to fill it until after the football convention. So a couple guys on my staff, new friends of David, and I said, well, I'm down here. I can't remember where the convention was that year, but I said, I'm down here. You know, I'll talk to the guy. Somebody go get him. You know, it wasn't formal. I'm not, you know, you don't have to wear a necktie and all that. You know, I'm not into all that. I want to know what you know and how you work and what kind of human being you are. And I remember meeting him up in a mezzanine lobby of the hotel we were at, and I still can't figure out where. Was it in Anaheim, maybe? I don't know. So I talked to him and everything. He was a nervous wreck, and, you know, I want to hear what he has to say. And, you know, he didn't brag about himself, but he tried to tell me what he can do and how he can coach and how he can recruit and this and that and everything. And he, you know, he talked a lot about himself. And I said, well, let me think about it. I've got other people to interview. And I did, and I thought about it for a while, and I did some due diligence on David, his background, and I offered him the job. And I don't think I said to David, I want to offer you this. And he said, he started screaming on the phone, so I don't even think I said job to him. So he's a good man. He cares about the kids. And, you know, I told him, you know, we've talked a lot. I said, you got a tough job, but you can't let it get to you, man. You got to keep at it. And he does.
Coach, you took over a program that needed some fixing, so that he... What do you remember? I know everybody's talked about the Orange Bowl, but what do you remember about the grind it took to get there?
Well, shoot. You know, I've repeated this several times. In some ways, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it. You know, I had to put KU football for 8 years as the number one thing in my life, including my family. You know, I missed a lot of family events and school events and things like that, because I knew when I arrived here that it was going to be a tough grind. And I was up for the test, and I wasn't going to give in. So it's kind of one of those deals. You're in your office a lot of hours, and then when you're home, you think about being at work. But it's not work. You know, work is what my grandfather did on the P&LE Railroad. He swung a pick and shovel for 48 years. This is fun. Coaching's fun. You're running these young guys every day, and they're pranking you and doing stuff to you and, you know, listen to their music, and they want you to dance to it. And it's a great job. I never looked at it as work. I just, you know, I feel bad that I put some other things that were important in my life on the back burner, but I'm trying to make up for it now.
Coach Beatty said a couple days ago that your influence on the program can kind of still be felt today. What does that mean to you? Feel like you had that lasting impact?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. David has said that to me repeatedly and others. I just coached the way I knew how. The way I felt what was best for KU and their players. You know, I just handled it, you know. You know, we didn't have a whole bunch of slogans. You know, every year we had a theme or something. I never, you know, slogans don't win games. Coaching good players does. But, you know, just like I coach for other head coaches, I don't know that they actually were trying to prove something or create some kind of aura about them. I think they were doing the best they could and the smartest way they could do it, and the people around them learned. You know, that's the way I did it, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, we did a lot of things right here. We probably did things, you know, weren't good, you know, but it wasn't from lack of effort. All the coaches that were on my staff, for the most part, I was here 8 years, most of them were hardworking, grinding guys. And they just, you know, if they picked something up along the way from me, great. I'm glad to have helped. Those guys, they were lifers. I mean, look at some of these guys, you know. Look at Bill Young still down at Tulsa going. And I bet you Bill's getting after their butt every day. I can hear him now, you know.
He is today.
Yeah. Yeah, he is today. Yeah. Hey, and I don't want, you know, Ed Warner, look at the jobs. And he won a national championship with Ohio State. You know, you got Clint here, and I know I'm going to miss somebody, and they're going to call me and get mad. But, you know, you've got so many guys who are out coaching. You should see how many guys that are coaching that played here for me in high school, junior college, you know, Division I, 1AA. So, you know, I'm a real smart guy. They probably, you know, they probably picked it up off each other. You know, I just tried to lead the way and get out of the way sometime.
What do you remember about the build-up to that Orange Bowl? And did you guys kind of, Akeem mentioned, like, just kind of the lack of belief about KU's ability to beat Virginia Tech, even though you were
11-1
or whatever.
We took the media and the TV people, man. We could have filled up a whole room of the bulletin board. It could have been a wallpaper. And, you know, these guys are calling you bums. You got no chance. You know, I went to some function, my wife and I, we ran into, what's his name with ESPN? Good guy, he's been there for years, Chris, Chris Fowler. And he's saying, Coach, I think you did a heck of a job. You got a good team. He said, you can't beat Virginia Tech. I said, okay. I wasn't that mad because everybody told me that. But for my wife to hear that, she said, you know, I used to like him. But anyhow, that type, you know, and we said, hey, these guys don't respect you. And, you know, the media doesn't respect you. We're a fluke. Everybody said we didn't play Oklahoma or Texas. And I've always said, lucky them. That was our best team. So we played that card pretty hard, and it worked out. One of the things that we did, we tried to get the edge in some areas. We thought that if we could be better conditioned, if we were in a tight game in the fourth quarter, we might have a chance. So we conditioned 3 or 4 days a week. Oh, the players hated it. They were dog cussing me under their breath. And I had Dawson line them up. You're going to run. You're going to. When the kids got to Miami, some of them, they had friends and high school teammates there. And they said, how often did you hit? They said, not too much. They said, did you practice indoors? I said, yeah, just about every day. We didn't practice indoor once, and we had the worst winter in years. We had a guy plow the field. He built a fort for us, and we went out there and practiced in the stadium every day. Then they said, our coach is making us do crossfields every day. I said, we haven't done any crossfields for a long time. When the kids come back and told us, I said, we got a chance to win this game. And sure enough, fourth quarter, we were ready to go. The kids were tough. They executed. And they beat a team. Akeem told me the other night, he was naming all these guys who are playing the NFL or on that Virginia Tech team. And it was a good team. And they're so well coached. But, you know, we played that card, poor boy card. Oh, yeah, shoot, we played it for a month. I think we even had Kevin's picture up in the locker. Okay. All right, Kevin, take care. Good to see you, buddy.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Hey, as you